Super. So moving on to the next segment, people. A challenge is that supply chain typically is not seen as a sexy, you know, sexy domain, or it's not, you know, it's not technology, it's not banking, it's not, I don't know, other interesting stuff, or it's so it's perceived. What's your thoughts? Any ideas on how do you make a career in supply chain more attractive to people?
It's a good question, and it's one that we hear a lot. It's not just supply chain. We have those discussions around other functions inside our own company as well, and you hear it a lot. I know what made it attractive to me back in the day when I started in supply chain, and I would say that goes back 30 years, right? Mm. When I first started in a shipping school, it was the idea of working internationally. It was the idea of working globally with potentially the idea of living anywhere in the globe, but with a skill that's extremely portable, provided you have the language to communicate. It's an extremely portable skill. I was privileged in July. My son, my 17-year-old son, did a 1-month internship in Miami with a 3PL, and it was an amazing transformation to watch. As I visited him every weekend, and he had moved from air freight to sea freight to pricing to to operations, and how he somehow that company had managed to get him really excited about it, and it was also quite cool to be able to have conversations with your son, you know.
After he finally understands what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I of course would strenuously disagree that supply chain is not sexy, but I do understand that it's not seen as sexy. It's a male-dominated industry. In many companies, supply chain is seen as the poor cousin. That doesn't include mine, but I know companies where it is, right? It's sort of sales is in the front of the front room and supply chain is in the back of the back room. It gets even worse when you call it shipping, because now people assume you're either a truck driver or an onboard courier. But if you can really build stories, everything is about telling stories, isn't it? And you can build stories in your recruitment process around working globally, working across time zones, traveling, enabling global trade. Really, I mean, let's be honest, the supply chain built globalization. Not the other way around, right? We have stories to tell that we are terrible at telling. I had the same discussion at a big conference with a lot of shipping line CEOs in Copenhagen back in November, and they were saying the same thing. They were lamenting the fact that they can't seem to tell the stories.
Mm.
Now, ironically, even though the world has become more globalized, a lot of 3PLs and carriers have scaled back their education programs and their use of expat positions as a way to build experience and background, and that's a crying shame. But I also see some of them coming back to it now.
I think you're spot on with the comment. I mean, it is about the storytelling. And I was talking to another one of our clients, was a very large, they're one of the market leaders in the 3PL space, and one of the board members was saying that he was even talking for presenting at university, and the people didn't really know about the company. I'm like, yeah, but the fundamental issue is that there's not enough storytelling yet. There's not enough.
You can't stand up with a slide deck at a recruitment process and start showing people this is our revenue and this is how many containers we move and this is, you know, how many planes we operate every day into which gateway. That's not. But I see that at recruiting fairs, right? That people are literally like, just because we're big and we have pretty slides, you should come work for us in this industry that we know you're not really considering, and we're obviously not making a very good job of changing your mind. You need those stories, right? Whether that's with videos, whether that's with bringing people out who really have amazing stories. God, it's not necessarily people like me. It can be people much further down on the totem pole who've gone through maybe living in a couple of countries and learning something, and people who can tell the story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think the industry definitely needs more of that. I mean, there is hope. We've started to see some of that happening already.
I'll tell you what, e-commerce is actually making supply chains.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Oh, how does that package actually get here
exactly.
in like 4 hours?
Exactly.
Like that? And now, I mean, and some of the biggest players in e-commerce, like the Amazons, are, of course, also topping the list of companies that people want to work for. So there's a great possibility to tell a story now.
Yeah. I mean, even if you watch on YouTube, you see that the videos with e-commerce distribution centers, they're quite huge.
Yeah.
So, hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon.
back to yourself. I mean, you've been proudly working. I mean, I've known you for a while, and I know that you're very proud to work for Electrolux, and you mean it. What's some of the values that this company stands for that you know, make you proud to come to work?
Inclusion, diversity, an absolute devotion to giving people opportunities to develop, and also make mistakes. I mean, we are grounded in Sweden and Swedish philosophy around social values. Sustainability is a religion for us, and it's not a buzzword when we don't greenwash stuff. We really are walking the talk, and that counts a lot for me, and it counts a lot for the people who work with us. So with sustainability, it's not just about carbon footprint. Sustainability is also about corporate social responsibility. It's about sustainable hiring practices, training practices. It's those sort of soft Scandinavian values that really define us. But that doesn't mean that we all have to be Scandinavian.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They were one of the coolest things I think I've experienced in the 13 years that I worked here is I claim that I speak Swedish. I know many Swedes who wouldn't totally agree, but somehow I can manage to make myself understood. That came in super handy 13 years ago when I started traveling to our head office in Stockholm, because it was all Swedish. Every meeting was in Swedish. Everyone who was anyone was Swedish, give or take two or three people. Today, 13 years later, there are 60 plus, I believe it's 62 nationalities working in that same office. I can't remember the last time I conducted a meeting in Swedish in Stockholm.
That's why
my Swedish colleagues are very grateful for. But that also speaks volumes around the company's values in terms of giving people opportunity.
Yeah,
we're not a big expat company. We don't have thousands and thousands of expatriates, and we nearly always have local management and regional management that are from the regions and the countries where they come from. But we do believe in giving people the opportunity to travel around and live in different countries if they're prepared to do so. Of course, on their own, we will help them. But we don't ship thousands and thousands of expatriates around. But we give people the.
Okay, so and moving to a question regarding skills and lacking, or maybe skills that are lacking in supply chains right now. I mean, do you find a certain specific skill that is very difficult to find?
If I were on the supply side, I would say skilled key account management and skilled operators are very hard to find, in my experience. It's really a mixed bunch of people that you interact with. On our own side, I think once again, you know, hate to sound like a broken record, but expertise in e-commerce, right? On the operational side, the IT side, I think is paradoxically not that difficult because you got really well entrenched platforms. But the e-commerce operations is going to be a skill that's going to be in very, very high demand. Network design, last mile delivery design. People with those backgrounds don't grow on trees, and I'm glad I'm not the one who has to go out and try and find them.
No, but I mean, it's actually, I guess, the point, and we companies are coming to us a lot around, okay, can we help them find, you know, e-commerce talent? Mm-hmm. So it's a common problem that you've just shared.
Absolutely.
And I guess it's just a reality. I mean, companies need to think, how do we train and how do we... Because you can't find them. There's, I mean, e-commerce is not...
Oh, and then you have to think about, do you train them in-house, and now you've just turned them into the most valuable property around in terms of skilled employees, right? But then, you know, that old saying, what if we train our people and they leave? And then the CFO says, what if we don't train them and they stay?
Right? Exactly.
I think you have no choice.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I think I love the way Richard Branson, I think he said it, that train your people well enough that they can leave.
Yeah.
Treat them well enough that they won't.
So I'll sign on to that immediately.
Super. And I mean, nowadays there's a lot of hype and talk, you know, chief supply chain officer. Okay, maybe it's a bit of a flashy title, but there is a reality that this type of scopes need to be more and more prevalent. But what... More importantly, to me, and I think to our audience as well, what do you think is the right mindset that, as a chief supply chain officer of a company, you should have?
I think we talked about it before. I mean, obviously, I'm not a chief supply chain officer, and I never will be one. At least not in Electrolux. We don't have one, and I don't think we'll have one. And I'm not.
You never know.
So
but
I am here, right? If I were a chief supply chain officer, and I wasn't spending every waking moment of the day thinking about digitalization, I think I would do the company by retiring.
Yeah.
A favor by retiring, right? It's digitalization. You have to live and breathe digitalization, e-commerce. Not just digitalization in terms of let's use digitalization for internal communication. It's really about how do you, the whole spectrum of digital tools that are available, and the whole spectrum of your digital footprint as a company. I mean, there's this question later on social media as well, and how you use that. Trust me, it has its uses in supply chain as well. Digitalization is going to transform your company, and you're going to lead it.
Yeah,
that transformation. So you better be sure that you're equipped to lead that transformation. That you make it your business to never stop learning, never stop inquiring, never stop reaching outside your own company to gain new impulses and impressions. You don't have to be a chief supply chain officer to do that. I do that. All my peers in other similar companies, we all do that. That's the mindset right now.
Yeah.
If your mindset is not razor sharply honed straight onto digitalization, then you are going to have a problem.
No, absolutely. When you hire your global leadership team, what are some of the qualities that you're looking for, or you looked for?
It's always about fit. It's always about cultural fit to begin with, right? You have to have the background, right? If you're going to be hired as an engineer, as an electrical engineer, you better have an electrical engineering degree. If you're going to be hired in leadership and logistics, you better have the requisite experience. But I think that's, I use that phrase a lot, that's the price of entry, right? So, okay, tick that box, we've done that, the qualifications are there, now it's going to be all about fit, right? Mm. Fit doesn't mean that you need to be a robot. I'd hate to think that we all would all be the same, right? But you have to be prepared to live and embody and project the values of the company that you work for, including ours, and that's huge. I mean, every recruitment I've ever been involved in, and for that matter when I myself was recruited, it starts with that. It's really what you're trying to figure out. Is there a cultural fit here? By cultural, I don't mean, you know, ethnicity or nationality. Is there a cultural fit in terms of, do we think this person already embodies and lives and can demonstrate that he or she has lived and taught those values? Now we're in business, right? So background is a given. You got to have whatever qualifications you need to have for the job. You need the experience, but we want to know, are you going to fit in here? Right? That doesn't mean you can't be raw. It doesn't mean you can't have edges, right? That you can't be prickly sometimes. You can, but you got to be able to fit in.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the system will eat you up and spit you out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't think that's any different from any other company.
Yeah.
It's just that companies have different cultures.
Yeah.
Right? But it's always going to be about the fit.
Yeah. And actually,
once we've gotten past the hurdle of the qualifications, right?
Yeah. I mean, and typically it's about, I mean, not typically, all the time it's about the soft skills, because the hard skills typically is a given. And let's talk about, I mean, actually people that that lead teams within your team, mm-hmm. right? So what's the leadership? How can you tell if a person is fit for a leadership role or not? I mean, some of the cues.
Well, if it's an internal recruitment, then you have a rich source of data on that person, right? You can speak to their previous managers. You can mm-hmm. speak to. And you can look at the work they've done before. You can speak to their colleagues. I'm much more interested, if it's a leadership role, I'm much more interested in talking to the people who worked for that person than I am in that person telling me how she, you know, did all these amazing things. It's a little bit like reference checking. Yeah. You do it all the time. Or you do it for a living. That's if it's an internal, but even if it's an external recruitment, of course, yeah, sure, during the interview process, you're going to have to say, well, tell me about three wonderful things you did, and what do you think about, you know, soft skills and people and culture? Where does that rank with you? But ultimately, you're going to have to go and find some people, preferably who worked for these people,
yeah,
and ask them what they think, right?
And, I mean, even in our business, in executive search, I mean, always the candidate will provide the referees,
of course,
but of course nobody will give referees.
No,
that will talk badly
right.
about
much themselves. Easier to go and find your own.
Exactly. So I mean, it's always we make it a case to, and of course, luckily we're well connected enough to to get unofficial referees.
Well, actually, I had the opportunity yesterday to help a friend of mine who has my job in a company that's even larger than ours to do exactly that. He called up. He said, "I'm hiring a person. I'm looking at this girl. She seems to be ticking all the boxes. Do you know her, or do you know anyone who might have known her?" And as it happened, I did, and I hooked them up, and I don't know how it went. That's not my problem, but you know, I think leveraging your network as well these days is enormously important.
Back to the, you know, it's important to have visibility in supply chain. It's also
important
to have visibility in
network,
people's networks.
Human visibility trumps everything.
This is the end of part 2. Stay tuned for part 3, where we dig deeper in personal habits and success stories.